What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Building Code. I'm Zach Witowicz.
And I'm Charlie Burtwistle.
Mr. Burtwistle, it's almost springtime.
Yeah, I mean, close. It is snowing outside right now, so spring is not yet in my mind. But fingers crossed, hopefully it continues to snow while we're in here. We get snowed in. We get to spend a whole weekend together.
That's the fun thing about Nebraska. It could snow in May.
Yeah.
You just never know what's going to happen. We always keep it on your toes.
Always keeps you on your toes. You always have to be curious
about
what the weather is going to be.
This man.
You like that, Zach?
I do.
I've been thinking about that one for a full week now. Always have to be curious. On that note, today we have the host of The Curious Builder, one of the best construction podcasts in the universe. And he is on with us today to talk more about his podcast, about his journey to where he's at today, and just how to be a curious leader. I think that's going to be the official name of the title is Curiosity and Leadership. So I was very, very excited. Zach, who do we have?
Yeah, well, Mark is going to be in here to talk a little bit about his business as well. And, I'm also excited. I always like having podcasters on because they can size us up a little bit.
Yeah.
And kind of give us some advice.
Yeah, we've had a couple, Nick Schiffer a few episodes ago, Mark today. These are big names in the construction podcast space, so I'm nervous.
You think we're marketing teams like get a hint? Like we're actually interviewing your replacements while...
Sadistic of them, but yeah, it could be.
All right, well, we'll let the listeners decide. Let's get Mark in here. Mark, welcome to The Building Code. It's your first time, and I can already tell you will not be your last. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Let's get this party started.
That's right. What an intro. Let's get this party started. I don't even know where to go from there. For those, before we go down too far, tell us a little about yourself. Tell us about your company, your story. We always like to kind of get a feel for who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm coming up on 2 decades in building. My 20-year anniversary is this spring. I grew up a third-generation builder. I knew building was the one thing I did not want to do, because who wants to do what their grandpa, uncles, and dad does? So they all retired, no plan for the wild card. And then I was 1 year in sales, came out of college with a communication and business degree. I'm like, man, how hard can it be? My parents are builders and designers. I mean, I should give it a shot, right? They've been retired. So I started building a house, and I was like, this is amazing. Sold my Jetta, bought a truck, because that's what you do as a builder. Went and got my building license, and it's been 20 years in the bank, and I'm still wanting to know why my career counselor didn't talk me out of this a long time ago.
I actually love the idea of a Jetta being like, how you roll up on the job site.
Yeah,
right?
I think we should normalize that in construction. What are trucks even useful?
they are if you do stuff. I mean, it's funny because my dad was called the briefcase builder back in the 80s and 90s. I didn't know what that was. I would essentially now be probably, seemed as a marketing person who happens to build homes. And I tell my clients, and it keeps on working, like the calluses on my hands are not from working on your house. They're from, lifting weights, playing tennis, or doing something other stupid. And like, I always tell my clients, if you see me working on your house, like call the project manager, call the site manager, I've ruined something. So I will be the first to tell you, like, I am not a building expert. I am very curious. I'll ask a billion questions. But really, my interest has probably started more with design and just kind of more of the can-do attitude than the know-how attitude. And even today, I tell my clients all the time, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. Let me get back to you. And I think, one of your questions, I think that you were even prepping me for was like, the nature of our podcast is called The Curious Builder. I'm probably an insatiably curious person. And I think that's to my core, even from a young person. So I'm not afraid to ask questions, and I'm not afraid to look stupid, and I do it pretty regularly. So I'm kind of come numb to it.
At some point it becomes a skill, you're just like, wow, you're really good at, just being curious and getting yourself into situations and always getting out of it. Right.
And I think about how much building has changed in the last decade, much less 20 years, but even now with the advances in technology and building sciences and there's so much happening. Even if you knew everything, if you're not self-educating, if you're not asking the question why and what can I do better, you're already, it doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are, you're already becoming, prehistoric. I mean, I think you constantly have to surround yourself with people that are going to help inform you and make you better. And I mean, look around the room, hopefully you're surrounding yourself with a lot, smarter people than you. Otherwise, you need to go hire somebody.
Well, in the current room I'm in, I mean, it's just Zach and I, so I don't know how much that works, but no.
Like, sometimes you're also stuck with people. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Is the bar pretty low, Charlie?
Yeah, insanely low.
Wow, you didn't even, where's the curiosity? Like, are you really? Like, can you ask a question at least to verify it?
No, I'm just taking him at face value. He seems like he's just dealing straight. So, but you know what? That's fine. You know, sometimes you got to work with some amoebas.
Yeah, sometimes it's obvious why I ask questions.
Well, I do think, all jokes aside, you did steal my segue there into your podcast. You saw exactly where I was going. I can tell you've done this before.
A podcast veteran is
yeah,
right.
Exactly. He knew where we were going.
He could see it.
Before we get to kind of the meat and the potatoes, I believe this episode title is going to be Curiosity and Leadership. So we wanted to have your kind of self-branded and well-renowned because of your podcast, The Curious Builder. So I wanted to quick chance to plug that and talk a little bit about what you talk about on the podcast. Why is it called The Curious Builder? And then we'll kind of, I'll beat you to it. We'll segue into why curiosity and leadership is so important kind of after that.
Way to call an audible there, Charlie. So I would say, you know, I was on a podcast before I even knew what a podcast was. So I'm a huge audiobook guy. I do a lot of long distance running. And so I listen to a lot of book tapes, but I've never liked series of things because just of a compulsive nature, I don't like to begin something and not end it. And so Brad Levitt actually invited me to come on the AFT podcast, and I was halfway through it and just having a ball. I'm like, people do this for a job? I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, this is amazing. And honestly, 30 days later, I started the Curious Builder podcast. And it was, I just didn't really have a target market. I had no idea what I was going to do with it. I just knew I wanted to tell other builders stories. I wanted to ask them questions in a real setting. Probably 90% of my interviews so far have been in person. But as we're obviously a national podcast, I mean, anywhere somebody listens to it, I guess, but we're starting to now basically every other week do something outside the state of Minnesota. But I really enjoy just talking to people and asking them about their journey. And the whole idea of it was, half of it was shine a spotlight on the companies that you're interviewing and just through curiosity, asking them the questions, finding out what makes them tick. And then the second part is, I want to learn 2 to 4 business ideas that they've already experienced that I can apply to my own business. And I just feel like there's so much learning out there to be had, but we can learn so much from each other. And it's kind of like it's like hyper networking. Like, it's 1 hour with wherever the other person wants to go. And it's amazing how often you have a question that maybe you're dealing with like right now. Like, actually, I had a podcast earlier this morning and I had a question about margin and markup. And she was giving a speech on profitability. And I totally derailed my own podcast because we spent half of the podcast just talking about her subject matter. I was just really interested because I'm also dealing with it right now, trying to figure it out. So that was kind of the backbone of why I started and what I hope it to become. And now it's sort of evolved into something we're now weekly as of about 8 months ago. And part of it is I like to do live events. So I've now locally done two live events, and here in 24, I'm planning on doing 4 live events where basically, you know, we'll speak to an audience of 60 to 100 people plus, and we're going to do a podcast interview in front of an audience. And it's also a networking opportunity as well as kind of a little bit of showmanship and entertainment. And I've really enjoyed that.
Go ahead, Trey.
I was just going to say, I think you hit the nail on the head. I was actually having just like how valuable doing podcasts are, which are really just a cheat code to, as you said, networking, meeting people, learning. And that's what I was actually just having this conversation with my boss yesterday. He's like, hey, like, I'm going to miss a meeting tomorrow after the podcast. Zach and I do have real jobs here outside of just podcasting. And he's like, do you still like, you find that valuable? Like, do you want to keep doing it? And I was like, I love it. It's the best part of my week is the 2 hours. One, because I get to hang out with Zach. Obviously. And two, because like, you're right. You just get to, you learn so much, and it doesn't matter the industry. You learn what big people tick. You learn how they solve problems. You learn, like, you nailed it absolutely perfectly. Like, podcasts are the perfect Trojan horse to asking and learning and stealing ideas from other people. So yeah, I love where your head's at and the way that you're viewing your journey through the podcast world.
I think I love what you said there, the cheat code, because ultimately you're taking what you're dealing with. It's like free therapy, whether it's marriage or
literally
working through your subcontractors, or, I mean, I can't tell you how helpful it is, honestly, in any relationship. well, I've always been a big talker. It's not that I have a lot. I do have a lot to say, but sometimes I can't stop myself from asking questions. When I told my wife that I was going to start a podcast, her first thing, and I love her dearly, and I know she loves me, she said, "You know, you have to listen to people, right?"
You could be like a shock jock radio and just be talking into the ether. You know, you could have been like the Skip Bayless of building.
But you know what's funny? I can't do that, Zach.
No, really.
Monologue. You know, I need someone to play off of and to ask questions and go back and forth. I greatly admire, like, you know, Tyler Grace does his midweek check-in on the Modern Craftsman. Shout out to him. I don't know how he's able to just kind of monologue on one thing. That's not really my skill set. And so I'm better off kind of working off of somebody. So I need kind of a dueling partner, if you will, someone to interact with. And those are the ones that are the most enjoyable. But the last part of it is I will say that, in my opinion, I guess I'll ask my wife tonight at dinner, I feel like I've gotten to be a better listener by practicing. But would you guys, I don't know much about your own personalities, but don't you think that the podcast helps you even kind of direct your own thoughts sometimes in terms, like, you have to give, especially on a Zoom call like this, you have to give pauses, which I'm not giving you, to let the other person speak.
Exactly. I actually have two things with that. One, my wife has been like, "Stop podcasting me." Mm-hmm. She'll be like, "You're trying to interview me and I'm not one of your guests." And then the second thing is I find myself like thinking about the podcast in moments to kind of like position, like, how would I ask this on the podcast if I, in this work meeting, to be more professional? You know, like, I can't react. I have to like try and put it into like an environment. So it's interesting how doing it has shaped even like my habits or behaviors.
Do you find that it's odd that everyone's like, "Oh, that's so cool. Podcast is so new and so cutting edge." And in my mind, I'm like, haven't they been doing like radio interviews for like 200 years?
Yeah.
Like, when was the radio invented? I feel like this is a fireside chat with like FDR, State of the Nation. Like, I just find it. Do you guys find that too? Like, people say like how new it is and you're like, "Well, it's actually pretty old technology."
Yeah. I've had a lot of people be like, "You're famous." I'm like, "I can assure you I am not famous." but as a bit of a historian fan myself, I definitely think about how like, yeah, people have just been talking in bars for years. Like, this is not really all that big of a deal. They just slapped a marketing brand behind it. Shout out to Apple for, you know, turning it into something. I think about that. Did they mean for it to become what it is? Or was it just one of those things like, I don't know, like people talking and recording it. Why would anyone listen? And then here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. But great, great thought. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about
question number two.
Okay. Yeah.
The first one took 10 minutes here. So
we set expectations. We know, right, Mark?
Hey, you can just, everyone just times every one of these episodes times two. So if you're a 20-minute episode, you know, a lot of people do like X2 and like listen to it fast. I will say I speak pretty fast. It's going to be pretty hard to speed me up to like X4 and like finish this episode in like 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good challenge. I'll do that when it drops, you know?
Sounds like a gerbil. It's not a good sound.
What we brought you on to talk a little bit about, you know, your leadership. I can just tell you're a fun person. You're super positive. I'm curious on your perspective on the traits that you look for in leaders and, you know, how that has affected not only your company, but just your general way that you conduct yourself out in the world.
It's a great question. It's interesting as being now, sometimes you think I don't know that much about your backstory. Do you guys own your own companies, or you guys, I assume you guys are in construction. Do you have building companies or remodeling?
No, we are
definitely not.
Yeah, we work here at Builder Trend, internal employees.
We're at Builder Trend.
Yeah. Yep.
The reason I bring it up, and maybe this is a founder thing, is like, I don't really think of myself as a leader. I think, and I don't know, actually, this would be a great question I should ask someone else on the podcast, because I sometimes, you know how like, I've often wondered, like, when people think they're does anyone ever think that they're a subject matter expert? And maybe is that kind of the secret, is like, you never really think you're an expert. And they talk about imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you're talking about a subject like you know it. But, you know, I've built for 20 years, and all joking aside, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. But that being said, like, I don't feel like I'm an expert. And yet, if you've done something for 20 years, you probably hit the 10,000 hour rule, right? You know, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, wrote about it in his book and among others. And it's like, well, you are an expert. So I wonder if, like, as a leader, how often do leaders actually think that they're a leader? And I only recently I hired a fractional CEO recently to help kind of put some systems in place, because I realized that one of my weaknesses was systems. And you can probably tell by my personality, organization and like really staying in confined boxes is hard for me. I'm more of a colorful personality. And so it's like, how can you build a house when you have to follow a blueprint if you're kind of, you have a lot of energy? Well, that's because someone has the blueprint. The architects have driven, like they've given me the confines to stay within, and then I can use my energy to push it through the process. And where I'm going with this leadership question is, sometimes I wonder, like, am I a good leader? And what does it take to be a good leader? I think sometimes you become a leader without knowing it. And then just recently this summer, I've sort of paused and thought, like, I might not be a good leader. I don't actually know the answer to that question for myself personally.
Mm-hmm. That's really good perspective, though. I think I'm obviously not all that veteran in the space of leadership, but I think one thing I do a lot is I look at other leaders that are remembered of them, and I look at the traits, and a lot of them definitely had, they, you know it when you see it, right? Like a lot of them were, people followed them because of what they were doing, and by their very nature became leaders because they were trying to accomplish something. So I think you're right that no one like goes out and if you're like planting a flag in the ground and says, I'm a leader, like so people are going to be like, that's not how that works. Right. Leaders lead. I talk to my own team about this quite a bit. There's a difference between a manager and a leader. And a lot of people can learn how to manage, but leaders are something that, you know, it, I think it does take a mindset, but it doesn't necessarily reflect your actions, right? You're going to, a lot of the best leaders I look up to are very genuine. They're who they are. And then people follow them because they observe their behaviors and the way they act and the way that they answer questions or the way that they just are, that they say that person is someone that I want to be a part of, right?
I think for me, just giving a little more time to think about it, I think for me, being a leader is really empowering people around you. So I guess now as I'm reframing the question in my own mind, I think I do that a lot, actually, now that I think about it, because, you know, for instance, I always tell my clients, like, you don't want a, but, you know, you don't, we're, I use the analogy of like, if one person tells everyone else what to do all the time, they're an amazing artist. Let's say, let's call, I don't know that much about singing, but I know Pavarotti's very famous, right? Mm-hmm. So that guy can carry a note like nobody, but you give me 100 people in a choir singing, you won't even hear Pavarotti. And I've used that analogy in building that, you know, someone might be the best builder on the planet. He might know every code, every cool detail, every piece of knowledge known to man. Great. Does he know more than 100 people or she? No, probably not. In fact, there's no way. And so the point is like, I tell my clients, like, I want to empower the people around me. I don't want them to be afraid to ask questions. And I also want them to know that they have a vote at the table. If my cabinet guy, who I trust and I've worked with him for over a decade, not only has earned the trust, but you know, I'm going to give people the trust right off the bat, actually. I'm going to say, his name is Rich. Rich, what, you know, you build for a lot of other builders too. This is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to achieve. Do you see a different way to do it? And he'll say, yes. I think being a leader is empowering other people to have leadership. And sometimes being a leader is stepping aside and letting someone else be the leader. I think that's what being a good leader is.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I think to your comment earlier, is like you want to surround yourself with people that, quote unquote, are smarter than you or that you trust or that you can lean on. I think that's a great analogy with the choir as well, too. And I think that would be the type, that's the type of people that I'm drawn to. If I'm thinking of myself as a follower, it's like those are the type of people that I want to lead. Is not someone that's going to tell me exactly what to do, but the someone that's going to come to me and be like, how should we do this? What would you do? You're almost making leaders out of followers. Mm-hmm. That's just an interesting thought. And I think that's a really cool way to frame it.
I think too, Charlie, you just tapped something that triggered something for me, is I think if you are, oh man, I just lost it. You said, can you repeat what you said? It just triggered for me and now I lost it.
Making leaders out of followers, empowering, asking their opinion.
Yeah, I think it was along the lines of empowering. Now it's I should have written it down because I was like, aha, but I had to let you finish your sentence. This is the problem with interrupting people. Yeah, it'll come back to me. But basically, I guess I was just triggering the line of like this empowerment of other people. Oh, I know, smart. You mentioned the word smart. I actually, if I was to characterize things that I look for in other people, I don't even think smart takes my top seven.
Yeah.
I would much rather have follow through, work ethic, enthusiasm, joy. Yep. I'm just coming off the top of my cuff here. I'm sure we could come up with
curiosity.
Curiosity would be a good one. Ask why, but honestly, follow through. It is probably my number, and this is why I prioritize communication almost over any other thing, because if you can communicate well, and I'm not perfect, I'm just telling you that I value it. I really appreciate people that, you know, close the loop on things. And sometimes you can be perceived as being overly abundant on that, in terms of like, you know, it's like a text message. Like, I'm thinking even like your interpersonal skills, again, going back to husband and wife, you know, did you pick up the kids on the way home? Yes. You know, just like closing the loop on stuff, you know, to building, you know, did you get the permit? Did you pay for it? I mean, just simple stuff. Honestly, most business things are not that difficult. You just have to see it all the way through.
And that is kind of the secret underlying thing of a lot of processes, is it's way to try and build that communication, right? So that there is consistency, that there is a loop. But if you find people who just go out of their way to already communicate, a lot of that stuff is, you know, SOPs are protection, but like you want to find people that just have that innate, oh, I just know, being a good teammate, being a really, you know, positive influence on my workplace or peers, it's about communication. And it's just amazing how many problems get solved just by doing those little things.
I also think, going back to such a great question about being a leader, I think another huge trait of really successful leaders are people that become super fans of their people. And where I'm going with that is, I often think, I have three little kids, and I think of like, of course you're going to love your kids. Of course, you know, they come in, I have a 7, 5, and a 3-year-old, and you know, each one of them will bring a piece of artwork, right? And you know, that my wife will probably throw away when they're sleeping, and they'll say, Dad, do you like it? And you're like, yeah, that's amazing. It's so great. And where I'm going with this is like, your enthusiasm and generosity of spirit towards somebody else empowers them to not only share, but also be creative. And I'm thinking of the space of an architect, of my interior designers, of my trim carpenter, my painter. Like getting excited about what they're excited about, but being genuine about it. You can't fake it. If you fake it, it's a hollow tin can. You really have to be real. And so I think that's going back to the curiosity thing. When you truly care and are curious about other people and what makes them tick, sometimes it's not always good. Like sometimes you're like, man, what makes that person tick? Like they're weird. And I think like, even like as we interview clients, like we're not a fit for everyone. Like, and I'm not a fit for everyone, and that's okay. It took me a long time to understand, like to really just own your own personality and your own brand, and to realize that I don't have to chase every build lead. I don't have to chase every remodel lead. Like, you know what? We are good enough as we are. And if we're a good fit for you, we would love to work with you. And it can be just that simple.
Yeah, I think you mentioned, you know, learning on the way and something that you've came to the realizations that you've learned recently. I think this may be an interesting question because I'm kind of skipping ahead. The next question we have has some of your accolades: 16 major awards, 2021 Minnesota Builder of the Year, 2 decades in construction, 231 happy clients. I'm curious. I love your perspective and where you're at now, but take me back 10 years. And as you were coming up, what have been some of the major, not necessarily milestones, but like learnings for you of, okay, this, I need to change the way I'm doing this, or, oh, I need to double down on this. Cause talking to you now, you're very professional. You're very polished. I love the conversation that we're having. Maybe it's a leap of faith. Maybe you've always been this way, but I'm going to assume you've learned some lessons along the way.
I think life teaches you a lot of these lessons. I'm thinking, if we don't have enough time to talk about all of them, I'm thinking 2 or 3 pretty major milestones, but maybe I'll start with the end in mind, in sense that for me personally, you know, when my first, the homes that I build now are 1.5 million to 5 million. The first home I ever built was like 500,000. And I think not losing perspective, and I probably have lost perspective before, and this is where having family around you that were in building help remind you, is just that, you know, the same family that moves into a $100,000 house, a $200,000 house, a $10 million house, like it's a home. It's where they're going to raise their family, and we're providing an essential need. Now, yes, I'm working on first world problems, and that's a whole separate podcast. But I guess the point is, it's not losing sight that we're building for families, and it's where they're going to live and raise and have memories like that. I think that is what is so appealing to our tradesmen and our partners as well. It is, who doesn't have a memory of their home, good, bad, or different. Like, you have a memory of your home. And to be a part of that journey, I think, yeah, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. Like, I need to remind myself of how valuable that is and really make sure that the client experience is being justified through the whole process to really honor that.
Yeah, it's critical.
And to answer the second part of your question, which is just really, what are some main things? I mean, in the beginning, you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, I'm 23 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. But you just, in some ways, that's also a benefit. I give major props to people who are, you know, 35, three kids. You know, I just interviewed someone, you know, she had four kids, her builder got sick, and she stepped in, became the GC, finished their house, and then became a builder. Like, that is baller. Like, that is so, shout out to Meg, Meg Co at, you know, Megan Billings, from Meg Co up in Twin Falls, Idaho. Like, that is a killer story.
You know, Meg, friend of the pod.
Yeah. She's a huge friend. And, so I think these different milestones. So for me, my clients sort of took me to where I am today. And what I mean by that is we built high quality homes at, you know, 20 years ago. What that means is different than what it is today, right? Style, architecture, things like that. But we were always, you know, several steps ahead of what our peers were at that range, right? And then a client would come along and they'd say, well, we've seen the work that you've done here. Could you do it at a different scale? Yes, I could. And so you kind of go along that line. I think the other big one was 2008. I'm not a great spec home builder because I know all the good stuff and I always put it in. So I'm not very good at making things really inexpensive. I'm just really good at getting you excited about the expensive stuff and then buying it. So unfortunately, when it's my money and 2008 hits, you know, that's the only house in my career I've ever lost money on. But, you know, I've often said that I got my master's degree in business and building in half the time and four times the cost. So I feel like those 4 years somehow surviving, you know, 2009, 10, 11, 12, and then coming out of it, a lot of people were gone. So at that time in my age, you know, I just happened to be the right place at the right time. And a lot of competition got taken out because they were overextended. Well, you know, I just didn't have a lot to lose because I didn't have any money. So like, if you don't have a lot to lose, you can sort of survive those low times. And so that was being kind of willing to do whatever it took. I even went and worked for another builder for a short time while I was still doing my homes just to project manage. I'm like, well, man, if I can get, you know, $20,000-$30,000, you know, and project manage another builder's home, I'm not above that. So I did that too. Then we kind of took a quantum leap up. We you know, we had one client that kind of took us above $1 million. And at that point, then we never really looked back. We kind of kept going with that peer group. And then I would say just recently, you know, the last year has been actually very difficult for a variety of reasons that we won't get into. This podcast won't be long enough. But the point of it is I'm really hopeful for the future. I feel like we hit a wall, and I feel like now we're on our way going through that wall. And so you hear about that in different people. I've asked other people about their journey, and you get into these little stepping stones. And I feel like, you know, they talk about shattering the glass ceiling. I hardly know what that means, except Charlie and the Wonka factory, you know, and a glass elevator shooting through the roof. But, you know, the point is I feel like we've kind of hit that wall, and now we're kind of going through it in a different direction. And so that has me really excited.
Mark, we're up against the time. So we can't.
Shocking.
Shocking. I know. It just flew by. So I'm just giving you our, you know, the warning. But I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what kind of topics do you discuss on your podcast for those that, as we send them off and they're like, wow, I want more Mark Williams. Yeah. Like, what kind of things are you talking about with your guests?
We are talking about really the origin story of their home or their home building career. If they're, you know, we kind of interview everyone. We'll interview builders, interior designers, architects, anyone that is even remotely associated with the building and construction industry, and is kind of spreading out into different avenues. And then half of it is highlighting them, and then the other half is just business practices. My hope is that you learn a lot about them as a company, and then can apply their business stories to your own life and your own career, and then apply them so that you can kind of level up without having to go through some of those glass ceilings yourself.
I love it. Well, consider two new subscribers for sure. We're going to be checking it out. I know it.
Sounds like Zach doesn't already subscribe.
Oh, you know,
peer pressure.
Yeah.
Kidding. Thank you so much, Mark. This was an awesome interview. We definitely, I can say without a doubt, that we will have a part two coming soon. Would love to have you back on again, but really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys. Good luck in the snowstorm. Thanks for having me on.
See you, Mark.
All right, we just had Mark here on The Building Code. a whirlwind of information, a deep conversation about curiosity. And I'd like to think I'm a pretty curious person, but man, he outdid me on the curiosity. I have to be honest, like I got to step my curiosity game up.
Way off.
What was your takeaway?
I thought it was really good. I love the range that we have on the building code of guests that we have. Yeah, I think I always learn a ton when we get super, super deep into construction, processes, philosophies.
Which I love Mark just being like, you guys obviously own construction companies. And we're both like, we can't even pretend. Like, hey, we know.
Fun fact, I did 2 years in high school.
Oh, well,
co-owner of Burt Whistle and Son Roofing.
Yes.
So I did.
And your dad.
Yeah.
He's down there.
He teaches construction technology.
I'm not even in, talk about in the universe. Like, I'm not even in the same timeline of being able to claim that I can build something. I know construction processes though. Like Mark was talking about. I was like, I resonate with that. I can tell a builder all day that you need a structure in order to run your business. So, it's all good.
Yeah.
I thought that was a funny moment for me.
Absolutely. But where I was going with that is I love those types of podcasts, but every now and then we have a guest on there that the advice that they give and the way they answer questions is relatable to every industry, every person, and just career and leaders. Like, this is the stuff that fill my bucket and that I love talking about. So I thought it was a great interview. I wrote down some notes. I'm actually super excited to go back and listen to it again, because I feel like there were some great nuggets in there. And definitely a guest that we're going to have on a second time.
Yeah, I think that's without question, that's happening, whether Mark realizes it or not. So he's listening right now and he's just already booking. Maybe get a series going,
Yeah.
Yeah. Curiosity offshoot of the building code. I would be down for that collab.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the listeners enjoyed it and they're going to have to, subscribe to not just the building code, but the Curious Builder too. And hopefully our paths will cross again and you'll get a nice little notification on your phone as soon as it happens.
That's right. Love it. Always about the plan. We will follow up with that someday, I promise. Thank you so much for listening to the building code. I'm Zach Petovic.
And I'm Charlie Burtwistle.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.